All right, the recording's going. Welcome, welcome everyone to March 2022 LHON Live. You're in the right place if that's where you're trying to be. And if you're trying to be somewhere else, I'm very sorry, but welcome to our call anyway. My name's Andy Marks. I'm one of the two co-hosts of this call every month here with Jessica. You there, Jessica?
Hey, y'all.
Wonderful. Jessica and I met back in 2014, June of 2014. So approaching 8 years ago now at what was our first LHON conference for both of us in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we quickly realized how cool it was to get to know other people in this community and specifically share stories about how, despite our situation being so unique, how much everyone with LHON shares and how much we have in common, whether we have shared these tips and tricks with each other or not. We all share a common bond, if nothing else, but also lots of things in our lives end up being very, very, very similar. And we realized how cool it was to make those connections in person, but just also wanted to be able to spread that benefit throughout the year as much as we could, which is why we started these conference calls in August of that same year, August of 2014. And we've been doing these calls for 7+ years at this point in time. Every month, without fail, we've been through lots of different iterations. But jumping way ahead, each month nowadays, Jessica and I bring together a few topics from our LHON Facebook group, chat about news in the LHON or blindness or disability community at large. Eventually, we will open up this call and ask for other questions or feedback on the topics we talked about. Feel free to always bring other topics to our attention by emailing us at lhonlive@gmail.com. I think that's the email. Or you can find either Jessica or myself on Facebook, Jessica Loomer and Andy Marks. We're also in that Facebook group constantly monitoring things to see if any big topics come up for us to bring up here. So just to a few administrative things here at the top, just because we are not experts on everything and we don't want to pretend to be, although we've been doing these calls for a long time and we've heard lots of different things. Neither Jessica nor I, nor frankly anyone on this call, is a medical expert, a legal expert, an employment expert. So if we notice the conversation tending toward those topics a little more than we are comfortable, we may point you towards some experts instead of allowing too many folks here to give advice, just because that may not be the best thing. We are really good at fellowship and community, but those aren't our expertise by any means. The other things, that is, community is our expertise. With that, Jessica, happy March. How are you?
Happy March. Happy warmer than normal March when we had frigid temperatures last week. So it was, I'm back in tank tops when I had the heat on yesterday. So, you know, just riding the waves and loving every second of it. How's your March?
Busy already. What's today? The second day of March. It feels like we've had so much already. I mean, it's a short work week for me, and you as well. I know we'll get to that in a second, but, I have a short work week and I'm taking up most of next week too.
Ooh, nice.
And yeah, so it's a lot of hurrying things into a very short number of days and, doing what I can to get forgiveness from work for things I don't get done. So after this call, I will have to do a little more work and do some packing and eventually maybe go to sleep before I wake up at 3 something for my call, my flight, which leaves at 5:30, I think, in the morning. So I'll leave here by 4-ish. So yeah, it'll be a night for sure.
That sounds fun and adventurous, and I love that sort of thing. Jam a bunch of things in before you get to the fun. Yeah, it's my sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm the famous like crazy early flight, crazy late flight kind of person, or fly directly from work to vacation, or directly from vacation back to work. I never do the things that I should be doing. But tomorrow is not strictly vacation, as we may talk about on the call at some point in time. You and I are headed somewhere to help with a board meeting for a nonprofit we both serve on, Success Beyond Sight. I'm happy to give us a plug here as well, but we're headed to that meeting and That's why I alluded to going to very warm temperatures, because I'm headed to Arizona and then Florida and then back home eventually next week. So one of our topics is actually related to that, although you don't know that yet because we have not talked about topics.
Oh, yeah. Love the surprise. And yeah, bonus is that I get to hang out with Andy tomorrow for lunch. So yeah, I'm super excited.
We will look forward to that and enjoy a little more time with Ellen Cho and people. I'll be honest. I mean, I haven't seen work people in a long time. I haven't been to an office since the first week of March 2020. So this will be my first like in-person work-ish thing in forever. It's weird to be doing it like with non-work things before I do it with work things though.
That is weird. Yeah.
But oh well, 2022 is off to a fine start. Crazy to think that Q1's almost over. Actually, a lot of our topics, now I'm looking at it, are related to travel. So let's go ahead and get into the topics. We got four, I was going to say good ones, but I came up with them myself. May or may not be good ones.
Bias.
But we'll see what folks have to say. I'm going to start with something that's not travel related, though, because it was related to the early part of the month. Actually, I think I tweeted about this, and I may have been incorrect in my tweeting about it, but I think Lissa, I normally don't call out who posts things in the Facebook group, but when it's Lissa, I feel a little more comfortable doing so. And apologies if you would rather I not, Lissa. But you posted a link to a Toyota commercial that came out during the Super Bowl about, I believe it was a duo of skiers, one of whom was losing their vision. And it was about their story and perseverance and rah, rah. It's a Super Bowl commercial, so it has nothing to do with the brand at all. But at the end, it said Toyota. And it was funny to me. It struck me as especially strange because this year, as far as I know, the Super Bowl wasn't broadcast on any stations that offered live audio description. I know we discussed this at one point in time a few calls ago, and I don't think it had anything like that. Ira has live narrated it in the past. I do not believe they did that this year, which to me means no one did it. And I was surprised that the one commercial, at least that I was aware of, that mentioned blindness had a lot of text at the end with no voiceover reading it. It was like a paragraph in the final screen. And I was like, this is really ignorant. I feel like some people would say it was blind to the blind experience, but I don't want to call it that. Instead, I'm going to call it ignorant. Are you aware of this ad, Jessica? And am I right in feeling that way, or did I miss something?
No. Okay. So this is where I think it's like how this is so off. So I'll confess that I mean, I'm a girl from Wisconsin. So of course I grew up loving all sports and I really know my football. So if you tell me first and goal, I know exactly what that means. However, this year I didn't watch Super Bowl. I watched the Puppy Bowl because I have a ton of tech friends that don't watch sports because I'm in the tech world. And I don't know, they just don't like sports. So we watched the Puppy Bowl and that was narrated by Ira. So how was the Puppy Bowl narrated but the Super Bowl wasn't?
Right. Well, I'm prepared as I get a little older. I am getting more comfortable being corrected. So I'm fully aware that in about 15 minutes we will open up this call and someone will tell me I'm wrong. But even still, I found it kind of weird that even without narration, they wouldn't voice over those types of things. The idea that a commercial would rely on so much text as it advertises a blind Paralympian, I don't know. I just found it especially weird. Like,
yeah, that's, well, yeah, it sucks actually, because like living and breathing in the accessibility space, like professionally and personally, I see those kind of misses happen all the time. And you're like, seriously, like, I don't, like, we're inclusive of some, but not the others. And like, how do we make sure we're inclusive of all? But that's super, I mean, as we get controversial.
And I don't want to mince my words here and have anyone from Toyota think that, oh, the better thing to do here is just like avoid the topic. Don't talk about it because you may talk about it wrong. I err on the side of like, hey, communication's better, although we can always improve. And let's like, allow me to say that I would have done it differently and still be happy that you did it. I'm not of the opinion that, hey, like you're pandering. Of course they're pandering, but like that's advertising for you. And if you think advertising isn't going to do that, then we're kind of kidding ourselves. But at the same time, I think they could have done it in a more tasteful way, which would have probably relied on more voiceover and less text on a screen. But that's just my own perspective. Maybe I'm wrong here.
No, I mean, I totally agree, especially if it's something super, that's super simple, that's super obvious. And I mean, not only does like reading the text out loud help people that are blind, visually impaired, but like cognitive disabilities or dyslexia, like there's a lot that they could have captured. And maybe it's kids or something, you know, like, look at this super, I mean, I don't know what the paragraph was, but like, think about the kids that can't read, but they were, would be, there's so many things that we could really, they could have hit way more people if they would have read that text out loud.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not as if a lot of ads don't rely on voiceover. A lot of them do voiceover instead of text. It wouldn't be like, oh, we're doing this weird accessible thing. I mean, we found ourselves because, I mean, I was watching it with my fiance and we found her because she would just involuntarily read something on a screen the minute it shows up. And she read it. And then we both realized that's weird that you had to do that. Like that's, of all commercials, that's strange that you had to do that. But before I have to put my foot in my mouth because I said something wrong, we will keep moving on. let's see. We'll do one more topic before there are a couple of travel topics here. Someone asked in the group this month, I'm not sure the premise for the question, but in essence, I think someone was moving and they were trying to modify their home. Maybe they were either moving or someone had recently been affected with LHON and they were looking for ways to make their house safer and or more accessible. Just general tips around the house with an emphasis on safety. But in general, if there are things that they could do to make the home a little better. I know this is a topic we've talked about lots before. Sorry. But I figured I'd bring it up here again, especially as it pertains to safety, and see if you had any advice on ways to baby-proof is a horrible word because I was going to say blind-proof, but that makes makes it, I don't like that sound. So any ways to make your home more accessible and or safe for someone with vision like yours, Jessica?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a single girl. I live by myself. And I try not to have the same routines because that's all about safety. But a couple of things that I've done that have been super helpful for me, especially in the winter months, we're finally emerging out of that. I actually put some lights on, like cafe lights, like not Christmas lights, but the bigger balls sort of thing. I had those on my patio and I put them on a timer. So if I were to come home when it could be like potentially dark-ish, I am able to find my, like, I'm able to, it's very well lit out there. Like there's no creepers kind of hiding in anywhere in my patio. So like that actually makes me feel a lot safer just kind of having a well-lit area before when you walk outside. It also kind of helps like if I'm in an Uber and I don't want to give him my apartment number because my apartment faces the outside, given he's going to probably be able to see it, but like, or he, she, but when I'm getting dropped off, I'll say like, oh, I'm the person next to the lights. And I won't say that's me, but like, or whatever. So it's like those sort of things. And it kind of really kind of makes a super easy landmark. But then I'm like, oh no, to the right or to the left, you know, like it just sometimes gets weird in an apartment complex and you're trying to tell somebody where to go. That's been a really easy landmark for me. So not only kind of like walking out when I'm taking my dog out or coming home past 5 o'clock, those have been really helpful. And that's just nothing smart about it, but the timer has been really helpful. Even like certain things, like I put a lot of timers in my house with different lights. There's obviously like smart plugs and the Alexa, she can kind of have that. That actually has been really helpful for me too, because when I come home, I go onto my app and tell my lights to turn on. Just so I'm not coming into a dark house, it just shows kind of movement. Those are all kind of things that have been really helpful. The smart plugs have been really great just to kind of, I can choose a different light. So it's not consistent. I'm not choosing the same room that's going to have the same light. I can kind of flip on different lights, just kind of make that. And you can get those on, like, I got mine on Amazon Prime Day, whatever it's called, Green Day.
Prime Day, yep.
There we go. I don't know why I call it Green Day, probably because we spend money. But they're cheap if you get them then. So kind of look out for those sales. I've probably got two under $10. And that's awesome. So those are kind of like the safety things I kind of put into place that really kind of make me feel more comfortable. What do you do?
This isn't something I think about a lot, which is why I really wanted to get the advice of other folks out there. I mean, just to kind of prime the pump for things that people may be interested in terms of safety. I mean, you mentioned, actually, I don't know if you mentioned all these things, but like your locks on your doors are something to be conscious of. Any security systems, your oven, being sure not to burn yourself or burn other things. Being aware of, I mean, I think having working smoke alarms and things like that are probably more important for us. While maybe, I mean, I'll be the first to kind of bust any myth that we all have extreme senses of smell and are going to detect if there's whatever, something in the air that we shouldn't have. At the same time, like, we may be more aware of those things sometimes. That said, I think we need to have things that are detecting as much as we can, because we are human. There are obviously things I do to prevent like knives from hurting me. I mean, I'm very diligent about washing knives right after they're used. I'll be the first to admit there are some dishes that after use sit in my sink for some period of time. That said, knives are not one of those. Like, knives don't go in the sink randomly, because my hands will go in the sink to grab at dishes to wash them. And I don't want to randomly grab a knife as I'm loading the dishwasher. I mean, this is frankly something I would have done before. Like, a lot of my flatware would point up in the kind of silverware area, but any sharp knives, if I'm putting them in the dishwasher, which the sharpest knives are not going to go there, but any true sharp knives that do go there are going to go, I was going to say face down, but pointed down, you know what I mean? One thing that I have like crazy fear of is accidentally leaving the oven on. Not that it like is going to mess anything up in a short amount of time, but that's something that I probably just have to pay attention to. Trying to think if there's anything else like major. I mean, other things around safety. I mean, you and I both talked about like food safety, like how to know we're avoiding salmonella. And I don't know if you read the crazy stories lately about this man who apparently had limbs of his amputated, and some were writing articles about how it was due to eating leftovers. Basically, that has been debunked by doctors of late, but obviously food safety is something to be mindful of. And I mean, there are
other like other things that some of my other friends that are visually impaired do. Some that have homes have like a sensor. So if someone's coming up to their front door, it'll literally ding in their house, like, someone's at your front door. And so they have like lockers, so they can like, the like a package is always put in a specific spot. So you don't have to like literally go hunt it down, because that's always a fun wild goose chase to go find your Amazon package somewhere around the, either your complex or your house. Always fun. And I mean, all of every, so many people that I know also have, all have rings. I don't have a ring. I don't know. I don't even know the reason why I don't have a ring, but, that has, I mean, it's just obviously super useful for everybody, but just to kind of get a gist of who's at your,
for those who don't know, do you want to tell everyone what a ring is?
Oh yeah. It's like a video doorbell, I would say, more or less. So when someone's approaching, they're either ringing your doorbell to like come and bring you cupcakes. And you're like looking at them, and they're, and it comes onto your phone and you can see this live video, or it's somebody dropping off a package, or it's someone stealing your package and you can see who it is. So there's like so many good options to be able to see like who's at your front door, especially if you're gone a lot, or just traveling, or visually impaired, and you want a little bit of a zoom in on the video of who's at your front door before you open it.
I think it will also do face recognition. So like, you can assign it to, I don't have one, but when we go to my neighbor's house, we'll say like, Maggie's approaching the door. Save a sign.
I love that.
So that, because if you can't, yeah.
Jessica, I love your three options are someone's bringing you cupcakes, bringing you a package, or stealing a package. So
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it's normally those. Yeah. But so those are other cool things that I'm definitely like on my list of down the road, just because the front door, it's weird. Like, it kind of, you just open your, you open yourself up, you open your home up for anything, and kind of having a little bit more and that face recognition, it's pretty cool to know like Maggie's bringing cupcakes. Sweet. Like, definitely open the door, you know, and like to kind of be one step ahead of that stuff, I think is super important.
Of course. Well, we'll keep things moving here. I've got two more topics for us, then we'll open it up to everyone. These are both travel related. I'll start with one that was not in the group and then one that was in the group. For our trip tomorrow, I just love to highlight things when I think people are being especially accommodating. You and I are both going on a trip over the next couple of days, and someone organizing that trip sent out, and I love this so much, it made me so happy. She sent menus from all of the places that we're eating at over the next 3 or 4 days in case we wanted to review them beforehand. And I was like, yes, I love that. Yes. Like, this is not a thing that many people would know to do. I pride myself on thinking that maybe my fiance would know to do this. I tell you with certainty, my siblings and parents would never do this. But for anyone here looking for advice, like, if you're going on a date with someone who may be visually impaired, if you have a good friend who's visually impaired, if you're taking them out to eat somewhere that they haven't gone 100 times, yes, do this 100% of the time. Not that they will ever take you up on it, but like, make it easy. Send them a link in a text message to the menu and say, hey, just in case you wanted it. That's really easy to do. And it's just the coolest thing. I was really impressed when that was sent to us earlier today. It's something that I always do whenever I'm going out to eat with a friend. I will look up the restaurant. I know you do it too, Jessica. And then I end up basically just sitting in silence as someone looks through the menu themselves. But I certainly prefer that to taking pictures or zooming in or worrying about anything. Or even, I mean, I tend to ask the waiter or waitress or server for recommendations. And lots of times I'll go with that instead of what I had in the back of my mind. But it's just a peace of mind to know, hey, I know something on the menu I can order if I need to. And it's been vetted in some way. So I thought it was really cool.
I love that. And it sets a sense of comfort too. Like, it's independency that I can sit there and like, oh, can you read the menu to me? Like, yes, sometimes it's actually a super fun exercise, especially on a first date, creates quite the adventure. But it is just kind of like nice to have that independency that like, nope, I'm good. Like, know exactly what I want. Can y'all hurry up so we can order some food, 'cause I'm hungry sort of thing. And yeah, no, I love that. And that's awesome. I actually, the second she told what restaurants we're going to, we're in Tucson, I know exactly what I want since I used to live there. So I already got this all planned out.
Awesome. I will look toward your recommendations. The last topic we're going to buzz through, because I know we're half past the hour now and I will have to leave probably around the hour this time. But this time, someone, and I don't know their name, and I probably wouldn't say it even if I knew, they're planning a trip to New York City, and they were asking about any specific tips for people traveling who may have lost their vision. I want to talk about that, Jessica, but I also want to talk about whether there are any more broad tips that you have either on traveling in general or for the types of trips that you recommend people take if they've lost their vision. I remember it's probably been a year or two now, but someone in the group once asked, like, hey, what kind of vacations can people with low vision enjoy? As if we wouldn't enjoy almost any kind of vacation. And I'm not casting any shade toward that point of view because it's probably shared by lots of people. But are there any types of vacations that you think are especially ideal for someone with low vision, and also specifically just travel tips in general? And we don't have to do the whole airport thing. We've done that a ton, but like, just tips in general about things that you would plan because you're low vision.
I'm like, I do have an airport comment to share though. Denver.
Go for it. Go for it.
I was like, Denver, if anyone, and a lot of cities are starting to do this as a meet and assist, it's not the people in the airport. It's like put on by the city. So if you're coming to Denver, it's called Meet and Assist. It's free right now. I don't know if someday they're going to charge us, but if you go into Denver and you can have somebody literally meet you, and it's the most efficient, it's more efficient than the current like
red cap type thing or whatever they call it.
Yes. Thank you. And I've heard rave reviews. And they like literally look to find you when you're like coming off the curb from an Uber or coming off the bus. And they're like right there, they're recognizing you, you're kind of telling them what to look for. And they're like literally just kind of guiding you through everything. It's like you have a sweet personal assistant at the curb. And you, I mean, start to finish, you're like, it's a really fast process.
Do you schedule it beforehand?
Yeah, you have to schedule it 48 hours beforehand, which is a little bit different than obviously red caps are just right there. And, but the reviews are amazing. I've heard it's faster, just easier. So I would type in meet and assist in your city, and it's put on by those cities. So kind of a cool idea. But vacations, I've actually been looking into this to kind of see what's going to be the next move, what my next vacation would be. And a lot of what I'm kind of looking towards is a lot of tour based, but I think this is, I mean, visually impaired or not, I'm a planner, and it's super obnoxious. And I would love for someone to plan for me instead of me being a psycho planner. And so all those kind of travel trips and travel things that are happening right now, of kind of everything's planned for you, and you can kind of, you can prepay, or you can pay different chunks of money at a specific time and kind of work towards that. So by the time you get to that vacation, it's already paid for. Like that's what was next on my radar. That sounds easy. That sounds like it's planned. It sounds, I don't know, easy sounds great.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, and this is maybe expensive advice, but anything you can do where a lot is managed by a single party, I think that's better when you have low vision, in the sense that you are explaining things one time, and then that party is basically taking care of things for you. I will give the example of like cruises as an example, where, hey, you may be doing lots of things on this cruise ship. There may be activities like crazy. You have everything under one area. However, you're basically, everything is managed by a single entity. And as a result, you're sharing your disability that one time. You don't have to say it every time you go in anything. Excuse me. And they're able to cater the experience to your needs. And also another reason I really like cruise ships, we'll talk about why maybe you shouldn't go on a cruise right now, but in the future, I like cruise ships because they are a defined space that you can get acclimated to in a certain amount of time. If you were to go to Rome, you're not going to like walk away with a mental map of Rome after a few days. However, something as simple as a cruise ship, despite how large it may be, you can kind of get your bearings and learn where you are, even without being able to read the signs and all those types of things, and even be able to kind of navigate around by yourself and meet people. Now, cruise ships can be difficult because sometimes you don't have a way to contact people on the ship if you don't have phone plans and those types of things. And also, there's a pandemic right now. So I don't necessarily recommend going on a cruise ship. That said, I do in the future, will be taking more cruises and enjoy that type of vacation for that reason. And like you said, any type of tour where you are being ushered around by a single entity, I think is a great idea for something like that. I don't really have many trips that I would discourage people from going to. I mean, beaches are great places to just kind of like take in everything with all of your senses, put your feet in the water, whether you have any remaining vision or not, just places with beautiful sounds and nature are fantastic. I mean, I've been jealous of friends going on safaris of lately. Now that said, I don't know that if I ever went on a safari, I'd be able to see animals, but still it'd be a fun experience. Theme parks are great because again, things are generally run by single entities, and maybe you can't see every single detail of fireworks, but you can see some things. I'm going on a ski trip coming up soon. So I obviously think that's a great vacation. Again, not the cheapest vacation ever, but there are very few vacations I would discourage people from taking, other than maybe road trips where you were relying on that person driving. Otherwise, I think everything's on the table. Any last thoughts there, Jessica?
Another cool thing I was just going to share, like with kind of as I'm like, yeah, staring at my apartment and have things all over my apartment of what to pack. I got this cool thing on Amazon of this like travel size bottles. So they come in like a bunch of different colors. It's all in like the perfect size to carry on. However, there's a blue one, which I only need one bottle at the moment. There's a blue one. And so I plan to just do a full Sharpie of like 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's just kind of like face care, like, you know, like face wash, like toner, whatever. And so it's 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm going to make them in big enough that I'm going to be able to see them, but also there are different colors. So I would be able to kind of put them all into a spot. And the actual container, or it comes with like a little plastic bag. It's like a, kind of looks like a cosmetic bag that's clear. But it fits all these bottles perfectly so I can stick them in order. So just for organization of that, I do know that people have talked about kind of doing like over like those hanger bags and just kind of keeping that super organized. That's always a cool option, but I'm just kind of looking around to me like what's going to help me best prepare for this trip. And that's that. And I'm always a component to bring really good snacks. There's nothing worse than being like a visually impaired girl wandering the airport and not knowing where a snack is. So I bring my own. So that's kind of my, like, that's just a me thing, because a hangry Jessica is never a fun Jessica. So
no, I love the idea of travel bottles and packing cubes and all those kinds of things. I mean, organization in general is our best friend. So while everyone would benefit from it, it's more of a necessity for folks with low vision. I see Robin posted a link in the chat. I believe it goes to this Denver service that you're talking about. So we'll try and look into that and make sure that's what Jessica was talking about, Robin. But with that, Jessica, that's the last topic we had today. Are there any other things you want to plug for the month ahead before we open up the call for everyone?
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, I was not quite prepared because I was 100% into that call. So hold on one second. Give me 2 seconds and I can get everything ready to kind of talk about March.
Of course. Bear with us, everyone. This is where we'll be playing a podcast ad for HelloFresh. With our discount code, you can get 16 meals free and 3 free gifts. Use HelloFresh.com/LHONLive.
Oh, I just wish I was not on mute so I could hold back all that greatness. That was awesome. You know, honestly, like, I was like, Lissa?
Yep, I'm here. So your first call coming up in March is on next Tuesday on the 8th. That's the New England call. And then on the 10th, the Georgia call is expanding to include both Florida and Alabama. So that's on the 10th. And then on the 14th, the Texas call takes place, and that's always included Oklahoma, but it's expanded to include Arkansas. And then this time around, we're going to include Louisiana. And then March 15th, what used to be the California call, but it's now called the Southwest. So it includes California and all the states ending at Texas. So that call's on the 15th. And March 16th is the moms of people affected by LHON. And on the 17th, what used to be the New York call, but it's including New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania is on the 17th. And then on the 21st, Midwest, a large expanse of area in the Midwest. And then on the 23rd, we have Sisterhood. So any woman who has an LHON mutation is welcome to join this Sisterhood group. And then from there, you have to register. All the other calls I've said are the same way you got to this is how you get to those. Sisterhood, you have to join the Sisterhood group and then register, so that one's unique. The March 30th is education. So lots going on in March. And again, how you got here is how you get to almost all of those.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for swooping in. So much appreciated.
The last call I will advertise is next month's LHON Live. So to get us to that, we will have our next call. They're always the first Wednesday of every month, always the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific here in the U.S., although we love our international callers as well. So that would make next month's call April 6th, if I'm not mistaken, 4-6.
Correct.
So that's where you're going. And as I said at the beginning of the call, you can always recommend topics in the Facebook group. You can even just comment on a topic and tag us, and we will make sure to see it. Or email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. With that, Jessica, let me go ahead and request everyone unmute. And if you keep an eye on your phones or your computers, you will see a request come through. And if you'd like to unmute and ask a question related to our topics or provide answers to any of our topics, feel free to do so. As I promise to do so every month, I'll remind you of what we talked about. We talked about sending menus before a trip or a date or a dinner to people who are low vision, so they have the ability to kind of review that beforehand. We talked about the Toyota Super Bowl commercial. We talked about modifying your home to make it safer. And we talked about tips for, well, travel tips in general, types of vacations that may be ideal for folks who are low vision. With that, this call is yours. Anyone who wants to chime in.
Hey, it's Cindy. Those were great topics. Enjoyed all that.
Thanks so much, Cindy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Cindy.
I was going to respond to the person on Facebook about the New York trip, and I haven't connected with her, but I think what's cool about going somewhere like New York is that there's a lot of places available there that have things available that are audio described, like the public library that we went to when we were there and that type of thing. And so I was going to point that out to her, but when you guys were talking about liking to travel where it's kind of a, like you mentioned, a cruise or anything else where it's like a, that type of thing. I was going to point out that I have a very close friend who is in the National Federation of the Blind. He's the secretary of the chapter that I'm in, and he has been a travel agent for over 20 years, and he's blind, and they specialize in cruise travel, but they do all types of travel, and it's just a fantastic business that he runs. And so if you're interested in supporting somebody who's blind, and for, you know, and use a travel agent who's blind, this guy is really, really good, does tons of research on all things travel, and I'd be happy to give his contact information to anybody who wants to support his business.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. Thanks, Cindy. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is Tom from Washington State. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
This is a difficult subject, and it begats my curiosity. I've had this now for a year and a half, and these monthly meetings have been wonderful. I really appreciate you guys. And I don't know how to ask this, but I'm just wondering, with respect to all the people that suffer from this mutation, and by the way, if I was going to become a mutant, how come I couldn't have superpowers like I'm going to fly or something? I wonder, generally speaking, those of you who know a lot more people who have LHON than I do, is there an average...
None of them can fly, if that's your question.
Yeah. Is there an average level of eyesight, or does it differ so greatly that one LHON person may be able to do almost everything and the other one is almost totally blind?
Very greatly.
I'd say yes. I mean, to both of your things, there is a typical, or I mean, by definition, there's going to be some kind of average and something that the majority of folks would fall into. However, the concern that I have there in publicizing that too much is the same reason a lot of folks here have trouble being diagnosed, because a lot of the textbooks want to talk about what a typical LHON case looks like, which means others who may be somewhat atypical in terms of their onset, they have a harder time being diagnosed. For instance, women have a harder time being diagnosed, or people who are maybe north of 40 or 50 years of age may have a harder time being diagnosed, because your textbooks would say that it's guys and they're between 15 and 25 or something who are diagnosed, or who get LHON, not even who are diagnosed, that ever are onset. And so as a result, a lot of people outside of that range have a harder time being diagnosed. That said, there is a typical, and I would say it's somewhere between those two. There are people with LHON who have light perception or don't even have light perception. And then there are folks who have LHON who have enough vision to drive somehow, whether it's with a device or without. However, neither of those is typical. It is not typical to be able to see faces with LHON. It's not typical to be able to read text at a normal size font. It's not typical to be able to see things from any distance. Really not typical to be able to drive. That said, beyond those specifics, it does get kind of nuanced. I don't know if that's enough of an answer to your question, but that's
the answer I have. It's a wonderful answer. And I don't know, from the time I've spent with a lot of you people here, I guess I asked the question because I tend to suspect that my vision is better than average. And I mean, I feel good about that, maybe a little bit guilty as well, because there are people who suffer from it who have lost almost all their vision. And I feel bad about that. I can't drive. I mean, I probably could, but it wouldn't be responsible to do it with respect to endangering other people. But I cut down 15 trees with two different steel chainsaws last summer.
Sure.
Don't feel bad about your blessing.
I didn't mean to make anyone else feel bad by asking that. I was just curious.
No, I don't think you're offending anyone here. I mean, I'd be the first to call you out because I play bad cop on these calls more than anyone else if I thought you were doing so. But I think your question's fine. And at the same time, I mean, there are a lot of people who carry these genes who aren't affected at all. In lots of ways, you are unlucky. And so I don't mean to make you feel better by telling you that. But no worries about having as much vision as you can. That's what we wish for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jamal. Can I make a comment on this?
No, of course. Please, Jamal.
Yeah, so I think I am at the extreme end, you know, in terms of the amount of sight loss. So in that sense, I'm atypical. But also, I think I'm in the typical age range. So for me, it happened at 16. And I have no problem at all with people trying to make the best of the sight that they have. But I also hope people take into account that, like, we have a limited amount of time on this earth. And so just to be aware that, like, sometimes a whole lot of time can be spent hoping for some kind of medical cure and not enjoying life now into the maximum ways that we are still able to enjoy life. So I just wanted to share that point of view as well.
No, thanks so much, Jamal. I mean, I hope everyone heard that, because we I think we all agree with you there.
That's why you're talking about travel and fun stuff.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, if I can. This is Rob in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area, and I just thought I'd just add on. I've said close to the same kind of thing. I've had this for about a year and a half, and I mean, ultimately, we all have time limits on our senses. Everyone on this planet, it's not going to last forever. So enjoy everything you have. And this has kind of made me that much more grateful for what I do have left. About a month ago, I got a pair of glasses with magnifiers on it. And for the first time in probably 6 months, I could go into a store and read price tags again. And it was just like a little breakthrough, but every little thing, it just means that much more than it ever had in the past. I just thought I'd add that.
No, I think that's fantastic. Thanks so much.
Welcome.
This is Karina. I haven't been on the call for about a month or two. But I'd like to add to that comment. I've been really sick for about a month or about 2 months with COVID and underlying health conditions along with LHON. So it's been just kind of thing after thing. But I can't agree with you both more. It's life is very, very, very precious. And I don't think we need to focus on, technically whether cure, just enjoy it as it comes. So I completely agree with you both. Just wanted to mention that.
Thanks so much.
My name is Candace and I'm from Tennessee. The guy that was seeing that he just got some glasses that had magnifiers, just following up on that, my son who is 14, we're trying to keep the bridge of 14, you know, what he knew and trying to keep it as comfortable. We invested in the Orcam, and he loves it. And that gives him just an idea, throwing it out there, gives him a little bit of independence where he can use the pen to scan different devices, read to him, read the newspaper. So that's something that we use, just sharing, that has helped him keep that little bit of independent sight where he can scan whatever and it reads to him. And it also has headphones where it doesn't have to be loud. So just sharing that.
Candace, what did you say about the Orcam there at the very end about what you do about it not being too loud?
It comes with headphones, and you can just hook it into the device, and that way, like, if he's out in public, he doesn't have to, you know, other people, you know, it's not embarrassing because he has this device that's reading to him. Like, if he's in the store, he'll scan what the product is. Or if he's reading a book and he's in school, it comes with headphones. So it's one of those. It's a discreet device.
Come with headphones.
Do you have the Orcam read or the Orcam pen?
No, I don't have that. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because we have both. We have the Orcam pen and the Orcam eye. The Orcam eye is a little bit, he didn't like that as well because at school everybody could hear him, but the Orcam read, he likes that because he can use headphones.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you for explaining that.
This is Tom again of Washington State. I used to read 100 books a year. I didn't own a television before I got my eye problem. And I can tell you, I'm the biggest fan of audiobooks that there is.
I agree with you. I think my guess is, I've never seen a study. This is Jamal. My guess is that blind people read more than the average in the population. And I mean, it makes sense because, you know, a lot of people do a whole lot of binging on videos, which blind people do as well. Okay. But, you know, a lot of time, if they're not described, for example, it just might not be worth it to me. And I just rather enjoy a good book where it's all in, like, either the writing of the author, or if it's an audible book, you know, how good the narrator is. And I can just totally immerse myself in that. And so, yeah, I'm all for books.
Yeah, I agree. The audio books are much more, especially since you can't read or see the reading as well. With my son, he does enjoy the audiobooks just because of the voices, the different descriptions, the different voices, and the tone up and the tone down gives it much more than just using the Orcam just to straight read it. We don't use it. We use more. We have a lot of different devices that we use to blend in. So yes, on some of those, the audiobooks are much more interesting.
I agree. It's great when you have some. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that was just great. The audiobooks.
Yeah, hi, it's Alameen calling, and we were talking, and you mentioned the topics of travel. One thing I've done is, and I don't know if you encourage it with these LHON groups. It's my first time on the call, but traveling to a blind convention where thousands of other blind people are, not just our disease, but others as well. I went to a National Federation of the Blind convention about 30 years ago, and there's one this summer in New Orleans. And what's nice about them is they bring the hotel rates way down by booking thousands of blind people. They tell the hotel, we're going to fill up your hotel. What rate can you give us per room? So those are worth looking into as well.
You're exactly right. Yep. I know there's several people here who are very involved in NFB or ACB or different organizations there. So we certainly encourage being involved in these communities any way you can.
And if I could just finish that plug, I am an active NFB member, but of course, anybody with any other affiliation, share the information too. I'm not meaning it otherwise. More specifically, like, I think it's roughly July 5th through 10th in New Orleans. There's a main hotel, and then there's like an overload hotel or whatever they call it across the street where the exhibit hall will be. And the rates for like singles and doubles are $109 a night, and for triples and quads, $119. Now there's heavy taxes as almost and fees as always happens with hotels. So I would like add $20 or $30 to that. But these days to get a room at that kind of rate, and this is in, you know, New Orleans, just anybody who hasn't ever been to a National Federation of the Blind convention, I would just encourage you, just check it out once. And this would be as good as any to go to. And if you want more information, just go to nfb.org and, you know, look for the link to the convention information.
Awesome. Thank you, Jamal. Appreciate it.
Hey, this is Lisa from Canada.
Hey, Lisa. Yes, okay. We can hear you.
I just want to say great topics. Can I ask where you and Jessica are off to?
Yeah, we're headed to. We have a board meeting with the organization that we both serve on called Success Beyond Sight, which is a nonprofit related to the organization that maybe some of you may be aware of called ACVREP, which does all the certifications for TVIs and O&M specialists and folks like that. So our organization is kind of a sister organization of that one. And we have a board meeting in Tucson this weekend.
Oh, very neat. Very neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're super excited.
I'm so jealous you get to spend time together.
I know, right? I'm excited.
There was a lot of work that led to it, but yes.
That's true.
Well, I have a question about the safety issue, and I know you guys were mostly talking about like safety at home, but and this could be a topic for another time, but I recently had my first, like, I guess, out of my home safety issue, going to get a pizza with a friend and just a guy harassing me on the street and following me and just saying really horrible things into my ear. And I think before I lost my vision, it wouldn't have bothered me that much, but it was like, I just didn't have the capacity to really know my surroundings. And I mean, obviously I think one of the tips would be just don't be out, you know, in dark areas after 9 o'clock. But I mean, I just wondered if anyone else had any experiences or tips or thoughts. I don't know.
This is Jamal. Has anybody, I know my brother Alameen has, but has anybody else heard of the One Touch program? Yeah, so it's a self-defense program developed for blind and low vision people. It's considered kind of a form of, you know, personal development psychologically as well to a little extent, but it's I'm not talking any kind of cultish thing. Don't get me wrong here. They exist, and they have some instructors that do things around the country. I think they're going to do some workshops at the NFB convention. I know the person who's currently the president of the organization, blind guy who lives in Detroit, and this is really good stuff. I mean, they have just analyzed all kinds of situations that a blind person, you know, and some might be more related to if you're female, unfortunately, could find themselves in. And the various techniques that you can use in order to defend yourself, or that the first option is always, he said, if you can escape the situation, that's the first thing you should do. But then if you can't escape, reliably escape, and sometimes for a blind person or a visually impaired person, it's harder to escape because you can't necessarily see very well where you're going if you're trying to run, and they could more easily catch up to you. So you have to take that calculation into account, where then you might have a greater incentive that you have to stay there and disarm the person in some way, so they're no longer a threat. And they analyze different situations and different ways, like you can touch the person and get a know where this or that part of their anatomy is going to be based on the information that you're getting either visually or tactically in order to defend yourself.
I would be very interested in following up with that, because this was the first time I was actually like really scared.
Jennifer, if you don't mind me asking, was it obvious to this person that you had low vision or were blind? Were you using a cane? I mean, I don't know if your harassment was related to that at all, or if it was not.
No, thankfully I was walking with a girlfriend, and I just kind of whispered to her, because she was giving me kind of like commands, you know, like here's a curb, here's this. And I whispered to her, I said, do not say it loud, because that's like the last thing I want is for him to also know that I can't see. And so she was very like quietly in my ear saying like curb down, curb up. And so we were able to get away from him, but I just was like, you know, it just shook me. And I was like, I need to know how to deal with this in the future.
No, it's a great question. I'm sorry we don't have better answers for you, but Jamal, thank you for bringing up the One Touch program, I guess is the best thing to call it. And we will look into that information more and share some on the group.
I was just going to say, I dropped the link in the chat for anyone who's got access to it, and I'll put it in the Facebook group when I put notes from this call. But if you're looking it up, it's www.one, like the numeral one, not spelled out, onetouchproject.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That makes me feel better already.
Thanks, Lisa, for posting that link there. Obviously, I think it's I had an experience to share where they did know that we were blind. We were doing cane instruction, and someone who was not in their right state of mind started throwing bricks at us and actually struck one of us while walking. And we did try to do the first, action of escaping, going as fast as we could to get to a shelter, to an area. But after the fact, you could hear people say, I would have just knocked them down with my cane, whopped them with a cane, as if we're all like daredevils and have moves. And, I put a lot of thought into it afterward. When you use your cane as something like that, you have to be ready for the consequences. It's not quite that simple of what injuries and you could be causing. So I think that class would be really good to determine what action to do when you're faced with a situation like that.
You're exactly right, Rob. And I obviously devastated to hear your experience, but I'm glad to hear that there's a program out there meant to help in instances like that, because I've certainly been in situations similarly where violence was not breached, but on the verge of those types of things by people being, irritated by a blind person existing. So I'm glad your Everyone's situation wasn't okay. any worse than it was, but.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, no one was seriously hurt, but it definitely, I think that's the exception though, definitely from what I've experienced, of course. But you just never know, especially when you're in a certain area, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. we're approaching the top of the hour, and when that happens, I like to let everyone know, just in case you have to cut off. And by approaching the top of the hour, I mean we are six past. That if you have to drop, that's okay. We will be stopping the recording shortly and allow the conversation to maybe go a little beyond that. But however, the calls are always every month, first Wednesday of every month. So next month, it will be April 6th at 8 p.m. here on the East Coast, 5 p.m. on the West Coast here in the U.S. And if you have to drop, that's A-okay with us. We will look forward to having you on future calls. But now back to our regularly scheduled program. If there are any other questions or comments before I turn off the recording that people want to make sure they get in, now is a great time for
that. Hi, this is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hello. Yeah, I was just wanted to tell the person was looking at the OrCam that had the OrCam Maya, I guess it is, that fits on your eyeglasses. That is available with a Bluetooth. In fact, I have it, the Bluetooth headphones for the Maya one that you can actually use Bluetooth connection to connect and hear everything without everybody else hearing it.
Paul, that was me asking about it, and I was told that my Apple product Bluetooth headphones that are AirPods or whatever they're called, the AirPods Pro, would sync up with them, and they won't. And so I just haven't invested in other wireless headphones to use with my OrCam yet. But that's what type of headphones do you have that work with it?
Well, the OrCam has what I was trying to say. They actually have a set for OrCam. OrCam actually makes a set that you can get that Bluetooth can connect to it.
Okay.
At least I have one anyway.
I'll check on that. All right. Thank you.
The other thing is it's really difficult to connect Bluetooth devices to it, which I found. But if you work at it, I bet you probably get the Apple ones hooked up to it too.
Yeah, I tried tried, and my husband did also. And then when I finally contacted OrCam, they said that the Apple products had been compatible, but then the AirPod Pro is not compatible, and that's what I have. So it doesn't link up with them.
Because I have my hearing aids connected to it that I can connect, and also I have my that Bluetooth set that I have for it. It's pretty much an OrCam headset for it. So they're not the easiest for tech support with a company. I think that's over in Israel or someplace, and it's hard to really get good support for it. So
there's a Facebook group that's called OrCam Users, and fairly often they do a Facebook Live with a guy who seems to know how to operate it pretty well, and people can put comments, and he reads them out loud and addresses all the questions and stuff. And so if you've got some issues
with
it, then that's a good
thanks for that information.
Yeah, he's pretty knowledgeable. He's a I can't think what his position is, but he's very helpful, the guy who does their live videos on Facebook.
Perfect.
This is Jamal. I have a question.
Sure, we can hear you, Jamal.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, so, everybody knows what's going on in the world currently. Does anybody happen to know, are there any people who have LHON in Ukraine who need help?
Lisa, from our database of folks and with their locations in it, do any report being in Ukraine?
I do know a few folks in the community in Ukraine. Nobody has reached out. There was one individual in Russia who didn't wish to be there and reported that he had gotten himself out because he didn't want to be in a country in that situation and felt things would get worse for him as a person without vision. I have not reached out to those in Ukraine, so I'm not aware of their needs, but yes, there are in our community.
Okay, thanks.
Great question.
Yeah, Lisa, obviously, I mean, it's implied by Jamal's question, but if you happen to hear from folks and there's something we can do and they don't mind with you sharing that information, let us know.
Will do.
We got a bunch of great people here. Well, with that, I think it's a great community driven question to end the recording portion of the call. I'll go ahead and turn the recording off, and on the off chance that others have questions they wanted to ask when the recording was turned off, We can do that then, and also give anyone an opportunity to introduce themselves if they didn't have time to do that at the beginning of the call. So with that, I'm going to stop the recording.